The first scripture reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. In this scene from Jesus' life, we find him transfigured before his disciples. God chastises them and commands them to listen to him. Listen now to God's word to you today. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. Here ends the first scripture reading.
So my mom lives in Florida. In Northeast Florida specifically, right? So I was following Matthew pretty closely, especially since we lived in Florida for 8 years in that same area. And there was one stretch of time where for a month we were without electricity in August for 16 days. So imagine living in Northeast Florida in August without electricity. So we kind of knew what was going to be happening and what was going to take place, but what really got our attention was when the governor of Florida came on the day before Matthew hit and said, "For those of you who are choosing to stay in the evacuated areas, right, in the areas where there's mandatory evacuation, for those of you who are choosing to stay," he said this, "you will die." Did y'all hear Governor Scott say that? That got my attention. I started listening then all of a sudden. It's interesting what it takes for us to listen when other people start speaking. It's interesting what it is that kind of presses our buttons and say, you know what, I better start paying attention right now. We're not wired to listen. None of us is wired naturally. It's not something that comes just when we're born, that here you have the gift of listening. It's something we need to work hard to do. The Stephen ministers you heard spend 50 hours in training to primarily learn how to listen and how to just be in a situation with people who are in need. How many of you have been training for 50 hours to learn how to listen, right? Well, let me talk to your spouse if you raise your hand. But isn't that also the kind of the ongoing joke where it said that husbands have selective hearing? Folks, I don't care who you are. No matter who you are, we all have selective hearing. None of us is wired to listen. And what we're going to look at in both of these scriptures and both of these protagonists, that we find that the same is true for us when we talk about listening to God. We are not naturally wired to listen to God. So how do we hear his voice? How do we respond to his voice? How do we block out all the other voices that are craving for our attention? How do we just block them out and just be able to focus upon the word of the Lord? So both of our scriptures deal with protagonists who have to be taught. They have to be encouraged. And both of them are actually shown how to listen to God, simply because it didn't come natural to Peter. It doesn't come natural to Samuel in our second scripture today either. And it doesn't come naturally to us. Now, all throughout Scripture, we find God commanding us to listen. My favorite scripture that, and we're not reading it today, but my favorite scripture that deals with listening to God comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's called the Shema. Who knows how that begins, the Shema? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God," right? That's in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the reason why it's called the Shema is because that Hebrew word Shema means listen. So listen, O Israel, the Lord your God. And you find that common theme all throughout Scripture where the Lord is telling us, Just listen. Just listen to what I have to say. So let's listen to what the Lord has to say in Scripture today. And what we'll find, hopefully, is from the example of Peter and the example of Samuel, how to listen better. Not only to God, but, hey, how about listening to each other? That's a thought. Let's go ahead. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel, he's just a boy, he's young, was ministering to the Lord under Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. And at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he couldn't see, he was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, right where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, I didn't call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And then the Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel got up again, went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you, my son. Lie down again." So Samuel did not, this is a key verse, verse 7. Now Samuel, he didn't yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time, and he got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. And therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "You know what? Go, lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And now the Lord came and he stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel finally said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. So our first scripture reading is a fairly classic scripture. It's called the Transfiguration. And we have a specific Sunday set aside throughout the year that's called Transfiguration Sunday, just for this scripture passage. It's one of the highlights in the disciples' lives. Let's just kind of rephrase, let's go over it one more time. We find Jesus who picks out his favorite disciples, and they are his favorite disciples, Peter, James, and John. He takes them pretty much in so many different venues where really, really important things happen. And so this is one of them. Something really important you know is going to happen, because he says, "Peter, James, and John, come with me. We're going to go climb up a mountain." And they did. And keep that in mind. Peter chooses to walk alongside the Lord. He chooses to be by his side. And so what ends up happening as they're walking up the mountain, they have a life-changing experience. And it's one of those experiences that if you ever find yourself in, you can't help but have your breath taken away, and you're absolutely speechless. Jesus is transformed in front of them. He becomes white with the glory of the Lord. And you'd think that any one of us in that setting would stand there, not be able to say or do anything. Well, not so much Peter. I like Peter. He reminds me a lot of some of us, probably all of us. Peter is one of those disciples in the Bible, one of those people who feels as if he needs to be the one who fills the silence. Anytime you walk into a room, right, and there's a group of people there and there's quiet, inevitably there's someone who just kind of feels like, I need to be the one who breaks that silence. But he goes more than that. He's also the one in the crowd who feels like everyone wants to hear what he has to say, right? And it's really, he feels really, really important that everyone hears what he has to say because he's right. And he wants everyone to know that he's right in everything that he says as well. And whenever you find yourself in the presence of that kind of person, what's your automatic reaction? You kind of want to avoid them, right? Well, Peter and the disciples, they're on their way up to the mountain, and no sooner do they climb the mountain than all of a sudden, two of the most important people in Scripture appear, Moses and Elijah. Y'all hear that bump, bump, bump? That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? Sorry about that. Just stay with me. I'm in the middle of my story. Don't interrupt. So Moses and Elijah, two of the most important people in Scripture, appear along with Jesus. And Jesus is transformed in front of them and becomes white. And there's silence. That's what we find. Turn to Matthew 17. And we find in that moment, there's absolute silence. No one is saying anything. But Peter, for some reason, feels the need to fill that silence. When you look at Matthew 17, you hear what he has to say. Jesus, you are so lucky that I'm here. You wouldn't know what to do if I weren't here. And so here's a great idea. Now, hear me out, Jesus. Why don't we build two shelters? And then we can put Moses and Elijah there so we know where they are. So anytime we just kind of need some advice or whatever, we'll just stop by and talk to them. And while we're at it, why don't we build a third shelter for you? You can have your vacation home so we know exactly where you're at. Jesus, I've got some more ideas. Let me continue to share them with you until we get to verse 5. So you can hear Peter just kind of going and going and going, and his engine is wound up, and he's so excited that he was privileged to be a part of this, that he wants to share with everyone what they should do in this setting, until all of a sudden in verse 5, we read that while he was still speaking, so Peter is still speaking, he hasn't come up for air yet, and all of a sudden from heaven we hear God say, Peter, shut up. Now, you need to know in my family, we taught the girls never to use those words. In my family, you will never hear Stacy or I use those words ever. We've never used them with each other. We've never used them with the kids. The kids have never used them in our family. Kind of see that as a curse word, sort of, kind of. That's our family. We're weird. But that's exactly what God says in these verses. God tells Peter to be quiet because he was so frustrated. He was exasperated. How long, remember the Old Testament, how long do I have to put up with this? Look what's in front of you, Peter. Moses and Elijah and Jesus, my own son, who's appearing before you as the Savior of the world. You know, every now and then, there are times in our lives when God just says, just be still. Like from the words of David in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. And you just might hear me speak to you. We need to be interrupted periodically as we cruise along thinking that our need for God is just relegated to Sunday worship or other activities in the church and not recognize that it is a lifetime of dedication and devotion that opens us up to hearing the voice of the Lord. Peter chose to walk alongside the Lord. We also can choose to do that. And when we do that, we need to be silent and to be able to hear what he has to say. Now, notice though, as soon as God speaks, what happens? Peter gets it. He recognizes who it is and he falls to the ground. And the other two disciples fall to the ground as well. As soon as Peter hears God's voice, they act. They act in humility. That has to be our response as well when we hear God's voice. We have to respond by falling down to the presence of the Lord. And then what's the first thing? Keep going through that verse, through those verses in chapter 17. At the end of the part that we read, Jesus then comes over. They fall down. There's silence once again. Jesus interrupts the silence and he reaches out and he taps Peter on the shoulder and he says, get up. Don't be afraid. If we just listen to the voice of the Lord, he will tell us the same thing. He will propel us into action with exactly what we need, the assurance that we don't have to be afraid. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're surrounded by, if we would just stay still and hear for His voice, then He will speak to us and say, don't be afraid. Whatever you're facing, go and don't be afraid. And the problem is there's so many voices around us in society, and society actually is very, very consistent. The voices from society is incredibly consistent, and they are saying one message to us. That one message that we hear is, be afraid. Be afraid. There's so much to be afraid of in the world in which we live. That's the opposite message that we hear from society. It tells churches, be afraid of liability. And so churches make decisions based upon liability. Be afraid of terrorists. So lock down your schools and close your borders. Be afraid of the poor and be afraid of not having things that you really, really want. So we work hard to make as much money as possible and make it any way that we can. But Jesus says the opposite. He says, don't be afraid. And what that does then is it propels us out into the world with a completely different way of life than what the society would tell us to do. But the question is, are we listening? Are we listening to the voice of the Lord? We can't help but hear the voice of culture around us. We can't help but hear that. Go to Samuel. Y'all are getting two sermons today. Go to Samuel. Samuel is also someone who heard the voice of the Lord. But unlike Peter, as soon as he heard the voice of the Lord, got it. He understood. Samuel, three times, heard the voice of the Lord, didn't get it until something happens. And we're going to look and see what was it that allowed Samuel to listen. What was it that allowed Samuel to hear the voice of the Lord? We know that it was just the presence of God that allowed Peter to understand this is who it is. And God saying, in no uncertain terms, just be quiet. Just stop talking, right? That's what got Peter's attention. So how does Samuel figure out that the Lord is speaking to him? Let me read you first a quote. It's two sentences long. So stay with me. I completely lost the first service during this quote. So don't lose me here, okay? Well, maybe I should say, I hope I don't lose you. Listen to these words from a commentary on these verses in Samuel. There were few people who were deeply concerned either to listen for his voice or to express his will in society. As a result, worship was corrupted for private gain and the nation's life was disintegrating in factional dispute. Let me say it one more time. There were few people who were deeply concerned either to listen for his voice or to express his will in society. As a result, worship was corrupted for private gain, and the nation's life was disintegrating in factional dispute. This was written in the 50s. You'd think it had been written yesterday, right? But it was written specifically to address what was happening in the life, in the times of Israel, when Samuel was ministering, in these verses. And it shows that in that time, things were kind of upside down, and it reminds me, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It reminds me how relevant Scripture is to us today. You could take that commentary in the 50s and apply it directly to us today as well. And those verses say that the word of the Lord, look at the very first verse, Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord was rare in that day. In Hebrew, another meaning for rare is precious. So in Samuel's day, the word of the Lord was precious. And when you have something precious, sometimes you don't know it when it's right in front of you. Sometimes you even if you dig for it, you're not able to find it, even though it's right there. See, I don't think that the Lord left. I just think the people in Samuel's day weren't listening. The precious word was there present, but they simply would not listen to the presence of the Lord. And so that's why it was considered rare. Worship was a joke because the sons of Eli used their position to influence people on how to vote. Wait, no, that wasn't back in Samuel. People of influence use their influence. People in the church use their influence to tell people how to spend their money. just so that they could line their pockets. That's what was happening in Samuel's day. People were in it for profit. That's all that mattered. And the poor and the powerless, those loved by God, they were being trampled and ignored. That's what was happening in Samuel's day. And Samuel, well, Samuel was different. He wasn't like everyone else. Look what Samuel chose to do. He chose to lie down right next to the Ark of the Covenant. How many of you saw it? Well, I'm not going to ask because I bet you all of you saw it. In Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? What happened when they opened the Ark of the Covenant, right? They all melted. Y'all are weird. Yeah, they all melted. They all died, right? But now there's some, that's a movie, right? But there's some truth to that. People were afraid to get anywhere near to the Ark of the Covenant. Why? Because that's God. Wherever the Ark is, that's where God is. The same was true in the New Testament, in the Holy of Holies. Wherever the Holy of Holies is in the temple, boom, that's where God is. Remember when John the Baptist, his father, Zechariah, before John was born, when he met the presence of the Lord, back then the priests, they would have a rope tied to their ankle so that once their time was up in the Holy of Holies, in case they were overcome by the wrath of God or in case God appeared for some reason, then they were able to pull the people out with a rope. Okay, so that's the awesomeness of being in the presence of God, not Samuel. Man, he's fast asleep right at the feet of the ark, oblivious that he should be afraid, oblivious that it could have any negative impact on him at all. But look at verse 7, and this is a Presbyterian verse. This is a verse, yeah, I got a lot of your attentions on that one. This is a great verse for Presbyterians because it talks about, especially in relationship to predestination, it talks about how God chose Samuel. Verse 7 says, even before what? Samuel didn't know the Lord. It's not like Samuel said, I believe. He didn't. God chose him even way before Samuel had chosen the Lord. And God knew him and called out to him. And it took Samuel being able to go to Eli time after time after time until finally Eli realized, whoa, something's going on here. Samuel, this is what I want you to say. It took an Eli in Samuel's life to teach him how to hear the word of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. Why we have Christian education, why we learn in church, because sometimes we just need to be taught, how do we listen? How do we hear the word of the Lord? And the key to all of that is Peter and Samuel both decided, I'm going to be as close to God as I can in my life. I'm going to walk as close as I can, not just on one particular day, but in my entire life. I'm going to walk as close as I can so that if by chance the voice of the Lord comes out, I'm going to be able to hear it loud and clear. It's thought that Samuel was 12 years old when this happened. The same, we don't know that for sure. Josephus, who was a first century historian, said that he was 12, but the first century happened a lot later than when this happened. So anyway, it works really well for my sermon. So let's say he was 12 years old. So Samuel was 12 years old, just like Jesus was 12 years old when he was found in the temple. Right, and he was listening to the leaders. So Samuel begins his ministry by listening. Jesus, when he's 30, goes out into the desert for 40 days by himself. He begins his ministry by listening to the Father. So you see, that's how they begin their ministry, is by listening. It takes work to listen. It doesn't just come naturally. We have to be taught how to listen by God, and also how to listen to God, and also how to listen to each other. This is what both Peter and Samuel learn in these scriptures. You know, we live in a time where, unfortunately, we don't listen to each other. I shouldn't say we live in a time. We've never listened to each other, right? There's never been a time in history that we can point to and say, boy, they were really good at listening. But think about us today. Many of us have allegiances that are stronger than what unites us together as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ.
Some of us have political allegiances that when we hear that a person is on the different side of of the aisle, politically speaking, we won't listen to them, even if they love Jesus. We have allegiances to our country and our flag that sometimes drown out a brother or a sister's appeal for justice, even if they're a brother or sister in Christ. We just won't listen. We have allegiances to the well-being of society that when a person thinks differently about homosexuality or when they think differently about abortion, well, in our mind, if they think different than we are, then they're no longer a brother or sister in Christ. In fact, they may even be going straight to hell. Some of us may think that. One of these days, God's going to come. And you know what he's going to say? I'm not going to say it because I told my kids not to say it, but he's going to say that. He's going to say, just be quiet. Just be quiet. Hear and know that I am God. And when he says that, not a single one of us is going to be able to stand and be justified in any of our positions simply because we haven't listened. Both Peter and Samuel, well, they put themselves in the presence of the Lord, and God spoke to them. The only way that we're going to be able to hear the voice of God in this day and age is if we put ourselves daily in the presence of the Lord. Society is working really hard, and they're succeeding in some ways to divide us and to separate us and say this is far more important than your faith in God. We are united by the blood of Jesus. If we learn how to listen to the Lord, then and only then will we be able to listen to each other. May God bless us and keep us as we look to do just that. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we do come before you now today. And we listen. We're trying to listen. We're trying to hear what you're saying to us. But God, oftentimes we're just talking over each other. And we're more interested in what we think and what we feel and the way that we know things should go. Just like Peter. Just like Peter. Thank you for that example of Peter and for your voice that comes from heaven and tells us to be still. Just be still and know that I am God. Teach us what that means and help us to continue to be a family that loves each other, a family that supports each other and strengthens each other through all times. And we pray this now in Jesus' loving name. Amen.